Episode 53 with Danny Kennedy. In today's episode, Danny and I sit down in between his client sessions, similar to almost the exact same situation as we encountered in episode 5 when Danny was on the podcast for the first time. But this time we chat about strategies behind creating a solid workflow, goal setting, patience, and persistence, something I admire Danny greatly for. And as you'll see in the title, the importance of consistency continued. We just continue on with the conversation we were having in that original episode. If you want to go back and listen to that episode, that again is episode 5. If you enjoyed today's episode and would like to support the podcast, I would ask for you to please head over to iTunes or Apple Podcasts, leave the podcast a 5-star review, and tell a friend if you can. If you're from Instagram, what's up? Thank you so much for joining us. Share a screenshot of the podcast on your story. Be sure to tag me at Austin Current. Also, be sure to tag up our guest, Danny, at DJK Fitness. Enjoy the conversation.
You been well?
Yeah, man, I've been well. Stayed pretty busy, really, thankfully. Everything went pretty well during everything. And I mean, not the obvious drop off, but as a whole, everything was pretty good considering. And
yeah, sweet.
Not too many complaints. What about you, man? How was your time through that?
Yeah, good, man. Like initially, things dropped off like pretty quickly, both in person and online, the first couple of weeks. But like I wasn't too worried. Like I kind of just saw it as a good chance to put some more time into the things that I'd been hoping to put a bit more time into, take a little bit of a break from being in the gym, diversify a little bit, and also just to spend more time with my partner, Danielle. Like this is the most amount of time we've got to spend with each other since we've been together. So, you know, it was kind of good. Like literally at the moment, because we're still, I'm assuming you guys are still pretty much in lockdown too, or are you back to normal?
Man, it's different state to state. So
yeah,
I mean,
but we're still in lockdown at the moment. So like,
okay,
everything's just gradually starting to ease now. But like, I'm still out of the gym. Like I'm still taking sessions. That's why I'm in the car. Like, I'm still taking sessions in the park.
Yeah.
So literally, apart from being able to be in the gym and go out for dinner, that's like the only two things that I can't do that I would usually be doing anyway. So I'm like, this is sweet. I don't mind it.
Yeah, too easy, man. How did the sessions go in the park?
It's okay. Like initially it was kind of fun, I guess, because it made you think outside the box and try a few different exercises and like still stick to the same principles, but obviously have to manipulate volume quite a bit and just get real fucking creative, really. Now we're coming into our winter, so I'm just like, all right, I'm ready to go back to the gym now. Like the sessions are pretty cold outdoors and you kind of just, I'm just kind of getting sick of tying like fucking 8,000 bands to a pole to try and come up with like a seated row.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's been okay.
Yeah, man. The volume's been a tricky one. The volume's been the trickiest. So, I mean, man, as a like coaching staff, I mean, we've written, I mean, 150 plus probably home or more home training plans based off of people's equipment. And I know you're doing that too, but it's been a challenge as far as, all right, I have this and this, okay, this is what we'll do. Or I just have body weight, or I just have like two resistance bands. And it's like, okay, well, if you tally up all this volume, it seems like you may die. But since this is not the same like stimulus or resistance, you're gonna be fine. So it's just like, because normally I have like all the numbers on there, but I didn't put them on there because I didn't want people to see them.
Yeah. Well, what about, have you had access to a gym to train yourself, or have you been training at home too?
Oh shit, man. No, so we recently, like 3 weeks ago, just moved back to Kentucky from Colorado. And so now for the last 4 months, we've been like a TRX, couple resistance bands. But I'm, this is my going to be my today was my third session back so far.
Yeah.
And so,
okay.
Yeah, it felt pretty nice.
Yeah. I mean, like that was the other thing. Like I had a shoulder reco in Feb. And then so I'm 16 weeks post surgery now. So like probably for the past month, I've been like gradually building up what I can do in terms of exercises. And most of it's just been posterior stuff, like pulling pretty much. But even still, like what I could obviously train lower body as well, but I'm in my head, I'm just like, fuck man. Like I don't want to do sets of 50 on like body weight, walking lunges or like all this shit. Like it was kind of doing my head in. So like I started getting, like I was doing, I just kind of completely went away from my program and I was doing like 500 meters of walking lunges to kind of smash out some conditioning and strength work, and then doing my rehab stuff for upper body. And then it's been kind of similar. Like I've got a few more weights now that I've been able to increase the loads a little bit to make the sessions a little bit more interesting. But I mean, it just gets to the point where you're just finding it hard to get motivated to go out and do like that's 15 to 20 on like every exercise just to get enough stimulus to fucking cause some form of fatigue. It's just, so I'm kind of hanging out now to get back in the gym and get back to normal for sure.
Yeah, man, the getting the stimulus you want, the even having the motivation, like some people who love to train like you and I, even having the motivation whatsoever to like go out like to my garage. And that's only been over the last couple of weeks. Cause I mean, really the bulk of the lockdown we spent in Denver in our studio apartment, like, you know, there's nowhere to fucking go. And we could walk, like we walked down to the park and stuff, and, you know, we could go out to the mountains if we really wanted to, which we did a few times. But I mean, you're just, yeah, man, it's a motivation to even get out there. And for me, like I have a lot of trouble sleeping if I don't train or do anything like,
yeah, same.
It's, I have a weird balance with physical energy.
And appetite as well.
Yeah. So my appetite, but like I've always been like a go guy like you, is for most of my life. And then as of like the last 3 years or so, I've really slowed down mentally. Just, it's a daily challenge to like mentally stay in it enough for enough time. But physically I used to always be on the go with more intermittent mental stuff, which was, I think, probably my sweet spot. Cause right now I'm doing very little physical activity outside of like very focused in whatever work, like a quick training session or something. But most of that time is spent mentally, which I guess I'm curious to ask you, like, what's the biggest, as someone who does so many PT sessions or has in the past, I'm sure you're going to get back to it, that also coaches clients online. Like, what's the biggest, do you seem to have a sweet spot, or are you a person that can just sit down and like crank it out all day mentally and you're fine? Cause I see that there's a limit for myself.
Well, that's where this period has actually done me a few favors. I think I've kind of found that sweet spot. So for me now, I've actually found that I can, so my usual setup is one day a week or probably 2 days a week is just full online. So there's nothing in the gym. And the rest of it, it's kind of like you said, it's intermittent. So it's like PT in person, then there's like a block where I'm doing online and there's PT. So what I've found is that like the first couple of hours in the morning, I can put out some like my best quality work online. Like I can sit there and focus in perfectly, like after I've done my meditation and stuff, and just crank out some really good work. And then if I block up like all of my PTs from after that till about say 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then once that's done, like I'm not taking PTs again for the rest of the day. I either go back and then do another hour or two of work, or I do my own training and then spend time with Danielle, and then it's productive. Because how I was doing it before, on the days that I was doing both, it'd be like get up, do my routine in the morning, go straight to the gym, maybe work straight through till 12, and then have like an hour to train, maybe 30 minutes to try and get some emails done, go back to clients, another hour later on to try and do some more emails and client work online. I was just all over the shop. So now like I've probably like the most valuable thing I've taken away from this is that I need to get a lot better in blocking my time management and just being really strict with it, saying like, all right, I'm only PTing from 6 a.m. till 2 o'clock. Outside of that, I don't care who it is, like, I'm not doing it. Like, and then outside of that, these are the hours that I'm working online, and I'm allowing extra time to get something done. Like, if it usually takes me 30 minutes, I'm going to give myself an hour to get it done, so that the quality is just so much better. Because I was just getting pulled from so many different directions that I've only noticed now how much better my quality of work is when I've got the hour or two to get all the emails done, and to write up my email to my email list, or to plan out a podcast instead of just doing it, like, you know, like, even in between clients, like, trying to write down shit of like what I'm going to do in like my online stuff. And it's just,
yeah.
So I think that's the balance for me. I'm even probably looking to, yeah, like, cause I was in the gym, I was doing kind of this from 6 till 6 most days. And in that time, there may be kind of 2 to 3 hours where I'm doing my own training and, you know, emails and online content. But I think I'm going to change it up a bit now and do it how I've been doing it now, just blocking up all of the face-to-face stuff in one big block, and then that's it. So I'm not getting kind of going back and forth from every different direction. It's just too hard to get in. Like, as you would know, like, when you're doing your online stuff, you get in that flow state, and when you're in it, it's awesome. But if you've got 30 minutes to get shit done, there's zero chance you're getting into that mode at all.
It takes me 10 minutes to even fucking do what I'm supposed to do, because I'm so distracted on other shit that I open my laptop up or my whatever I'm doing, and it's just like, now I gotta go through. And so, like, I have a system where I open my email and I'll clear out all like the shit I don't need, and then I'll distribute to different folders, and then I'll go into those separate folders and then knock out the emails that in those separate folders. That way I know everything's taken care of. But I swear it takes me 10 minutes to even get to the stage where I'm like in one of those folders answering emails. And so I heard this, I was listening to a Ryan Holiday podcast yesterday, and he was talking about, he's gotten a lot more strict with saying no most of the time to like coffees or lunch, even if it's just for 30 minutes to an hour, because it's not the hour of my time. And that's why I've had to extend off podcasts, you know, and all that stuff. Because it's not necessarily the hour or 30 minutes, whatever it is that you're taking of my time. I'm thinking about it beforehand. I'm thinking, you know, I'm taking the time during, and then after the fact, I'm having to either do something like transition yet again into something else and then try and refocus myself. And so it's, if you're asking for an hour, you're getting probably 3 hours of my time mentally, because all the, you know, because then you have to time your food right, and, you know, the rest of your shit and obligations, like you're doing right now, man. Like you're having to do this in between clients.
And it's like things with catching up in person too. It's like, yeah, we'll have a coffee from 12 to 12:30, but I need to leave at 11:30 to get there. And then after 12:30, I also need to drive another, you know, so it's like an hour and a half anyway. Or if it's an hour meeting, it's like 2 hours really. You lose the hour before and after. That's why I stopped doing, like, even with my face-to-face stuff, I was initially doing some corporate work. So I'd go to like a corporate office. It was pretty good cash, but I'd go and take them for like 45 minute session in their lunch break. And then I just got to the point where I was like, I can't do it. I'm like, I know the money's good, but it's not worth my time. I'm losing the hour before, the hour after. I'm having to go, like, I'm training these people that are, you know, and I've got really big now on like just training people that I want to train. So like, I'm training a group of people who just can't fuck being there anyway, and they don't really give two shits about training. Like, it's good that they're exercising, but, you know, if I've got to explain things 8 times and I'm spending like the whole session not really enjoying it, it's just not worth my time, regardless of whether I'm making money or not. That's the biggest thing I've taken away, is that I just need to be, I need to try and block out times designated to one thing, or to, you know, yeah, instead of going back and forth from one thing to the other all day, every day. It's just shown me how much more productive I can be if I just focus in on one thing for an extended period of time.
Yeah. So I'm in the middle of writing a book, and it has been a ball buster of an experience.
Crazy.
And it's been so eye-opening and interesting as far as the process of all of it works, the way that the team corresponds and the back end, and they, you know, get shit back to me. And it's just, it's been so interesting and eye-opening, because you see books on the shelf, you see, like, you know, you have friends or colleagues that, you know, have done this, and you're just, you don't think twice about it. You're just like, yeah, I have an idea of what that looks like. It's probably not that hard. You know, you could definitely do it. Absolutely. But you see it and you're like, yeah, that's great. I, you know, okay. And you can relate to, like, yeah, I could create that too. And then like, dude, and that's, again, like, that's the shit that goes through my head when I see other things like books and, what, you know, more specifically on like training and stuff like that. And I'm like, yeah, right. I can respect that, but that doesn't seem all that hard or all that time consuming, man. It's been a ride. But on the topic, why I bring that up is because I've really, really, really noticed the difference between, I could have 4 hours chunked out, blocked out to organize materials or resources or, whatever I'm doing for the writing. And if I do that from 6 to 10 in the morning, it's way different than if I try to do that like from 2 to 6 in the evening. And that's just like the difference in time. Even it's not even that you're getting uninterrupted time, but you're getting it. It's finding the time that you need specifically. And I know there's night owls and stuff like that, but my attention, I don't know if it's because I'm just still tired and I have sole focus on a task. But you're fresh, you just woke up, you don't have a bunch of shit that you just dealt with all day on your mind. Yeah, but that time, not only just not being interrupted, but that specific time that you need, I found to be even more so important.
Yeah, that's where I found like those morning, because usually like I wake up, do my morning routine, and then it's like out the door, make sure I get to the gym for my first client. And then the first part of ISO, because things had dropped off with PT, I wasn't taking my first session until 8 or 9 in the morning, whereas usually it'd be 6. So that first few hours, I was now replacing that with my online work and my content. And I was like, fuck, not only am I doing like good quality work, but I'm also leaving the house and just smashing the rest of the day, because like I haven't got, like you said before, it's not on my mind that once I finish PT, I've got 3 hours of like content. It's like the difference is just huge.
As far as all that stuff goes, it's been super interesting. And knowing that you don't have a bunch of shit to do, especially for me too, it's a specific type of work that I don't like to do in the evenings. Or after I've already had a day, you know, like you've had a day and you're like, fuck, dude, like I know the exact task I don't want to do right now. And I've just tried to really become more aware of those things. Cause especially when you go from more physical work where a lot of your whether make money or fulfill your job is just to be present. You just have to physically be there and physically moving around. But you get little moments where you kind of like, you know, you daydream for a second or you get a little break. And again, it's its own challenge. But when that, it goes from just, okay, I just have to physically be here to, okay, I got to be on for this entire, I can't dilly-dally around for, you know, if it's 2 hour commitment, maybe I really truly work for maybe like hour and a half of that. Okay, I get, you know, 30 minutes in there that kind of just, I'm not needed or I can doze off or whatever I want to do. But if it's like 2 hour chunk of like straight mental work, and the more you dilly dally, the more you nod off, like you're putting yourself up Schitt's Creek there. So you're just making that job longer.
I don't know if you've seen much content by Brendon Burchard. Do you follow any of his stuff?
The high performance dude.
High performance habits guy, yeah.
Yeah, okay. My wife has read the book. I haven't. I need to read it, apparently.
I would highly recommend it. His content has just been so good for me because everything he puts out is actionable. And it's stuff that he's doing. It's not like he's not talking for 15 minutes and then you get to the end of it and you're like, all right, so what does he actually want me to do? It's just like,
yeah.
This is like, this is what I've found to work. and I've put in research with thousands of high performance people, and this is what's worked for them. And one thing that he mentions a lot is like the 50-minute rule. So if you're like every 50 minutes, he gets up, gives himself a physical and mental break, and then goes back to work. So, you know, he talks about like how much that has improved his actual quality of work, like every 50 minutes, taking a quick break and then get going again. Because I think, you know, and you probably find the same thing as well. Like if I give myself 3 hours to do work, and this is the funny thing I found initially when we went into ISO, I was like, usually I have no time to get any of this stuff done. Now all of a sudden I've got like a full day to get all this stuff done, and I was getting like nothing done.
You fill the time you have with what you have to do. And so if you have an hour to get it done, you'll figure out and get creative on how to get that done in an hour. If you have 8 hours to get that same task done, you'll spend that entire 8 hours getting the exact same shit done.
Exactly.
But you just agonize over the little minutia, which there's a great lesson in there. But you'll just agonize over shit that doesn't, you don't have to agonize about. Or you just get more creative with the hour you did have instead of the 8 hours you now have. And that's,
I think there's a lot to take away from when you hear guys like Gary Vee talk about, you know, shortening their meetings, like capping meetings at a certain period of time. Like you just said, you could talk about everything that needs to be talked about in 10 minutes, or you could do it over a 45-minute time slot, and you're going to get pretty much the exact same thing done. So I found the same thing with my work. Like it was, especially at the start of this period where I did have all this time, which I wasn't used to, after the first week, I was like, all right, look, the past week I've done basically nothing and I've had all the time in the world to get it done. Next week, I need to start structuring out my days again. Like even if I don't have any time commitments, I'm like, all right, I'm looking at my diary. I'm going from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. I'm doing this. From 8 till 9, I'm doing this. From, you know, like blocking it out and actually having some structure again, which I think is where a lot of people have probably struggled the most, regardless of what field you work in throughout this whole coronavirus type period, is that like all of a sudden people have no structure in their life. So they don't know what to do. And I've just, my biggest advice for everyone that I've been working with is literally just try and maintain structure and routine in your days as much as possible. Even if it's different to what your normal structure and routine is. I mean, without it, like you just touched on it, you could just be so unproductive and you just kind of lose that purpose of what you're trying to do in the first place.
Yeah. I've had a handful of clients, those who are either just really homebound or home-ridden, those in other countries who had different regulations and restrictions, whether that was the UAE or South America or whatever it was, you know, there were strict orders to where you could either just go on your balcony or you couldn't leave your house at all. You couldn't even go outside. And so you just go mad. You have to structure. And so they went from a life up structure to no structure and they can't even leave their house. And so I had those people like write up your own daily schedule. Like I'm not going to give it to you like a meal plan. You know, I'm not going to give you a schedule. I'm going to, like you would with a client nutritionally, like you'd give them maybe a set of numbers and challenge them to create their own meal plan. That way they can understand the lessons of what it takes to put something like that together, the considerations that have to be made. And yeah, like you were saying as well, like if you have it's better to give yourself, if you have the time, which I guess counters to the point we were just talking about, but if you have the time, if you have 30 minutes or you think something's going to take you 30 minutes, give yourself an hour just in case, like give yourself enough time to where you don't have to rush through it, which kind of plays off in a different light what we were just talking about and another, you know, the opposite of that. But I think that's applicable or it's a little different. And if you have the time and now with that structure,
it depends what the work is, doesn't it? Like it depends what the goal is.
Yeah, I guess I'm struggling to get that out, but it does depend on the work.
If it's a creative, I think here's how I look at it. If it's a creative, and someone that I listen to a lot is Jay Shetty, and he talks about how he loves getting in these creative spaces and literally just kind of finding his groove in terms of where he is the most creative, and he sticks to that. But for me, it's like if it's going to be creative, it can't be rushed because the bandwidth of like what you can come up with is just shortened by so much. So if it's creative, I'm like, the opposite of what we just talked about. Like we said, like if it should take 30 minutes, I'll give myself an hour. That's where I know that I'm going to get the best work done. If it's like a, if it's a task, say for example, like if it's general life stuff, if I'm like, all right, I need to pay this bill, I need to call this person, or I need to have a meeting with this person, I do the opposite. I contract it and make it as short as possible. So then I get it done and I don't just, what's the word?
Procrastinate.
That's the one. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause I'm like, I go from two extremes. On one extreme, I'm like the most motivated, disciplined person ever when it comes to goal driven tasks. With life stuff, I'm the exact opposite. I'm like the laziest person ever. I'm just like, I'll have something on my daily goals like every day for like 3 weeks. I'm like, this could be done in about 2 minutes and I'll just put it off over and over and over again. So I just kind of go on one way or the other. If it's a task, I'll try and contract the time that I give myself to do it, to kind of almost put myself under pressure to get it done. Where if it's creative, then I'm the opposite. I expand that time to allow myself hopefully better quality work.
Yeah, I'd second that. I want to play on what you kind of just said. This is kind of a little bit of the topic that we discussed in our first episode that everyone enjoyed. I've got a lot of DMs saying, "Hey, man, get Danny back on," because we always do it in between. Yeah, man, and we always do it in between your sessions, and so it's like it's never, you know. I usually have like 2 hour long podcasts, so it's like
sorry, man. Next time I'll 100% just block out a couple of hours so we can just chat.
Oh shit! No, you're good, man. It's not on you. But what I wanted to kind of transition that into was playing on you saying, you know, you're one of the most motivated, goal-driven, process-oriented, I'm going to do it, I'm going to get it, and then I'm going to find some other things through serendipity on the way just because I'm doing shit type of people that I've ever met. And I had recently had an episode chatting with Luke Tulloch and Lennon Purcell, two guys I know you're familiar with. And we were on the topic of kind of goal setting and doing what you can or ways of getting better at sticking with those goals that you did set. And Lyndon had a great metaphor as far as like picking a spot on the horizon, understanding where you're going. But I think he used Surfer's Paradise. So he's in Melbourne as well. And he picked a spot in Surfer's Paradise, Shooter's Bar or something. And I was just like, it was out there, which is hilarious because I just know exactly the spot he's talking about.
Yeah.
Which is so funny. And, but he was basically like, you know, if I was going to leave from Melbourne today and just follow the horizon, you know, I know where I'm going. Like I'm going to Shooters and Surfers, but that's not where my eyes stay. Like my eyes, I'm 1 foot in front of the other. You know, you're going to pass through these towns. You're going to pass through these opportunities along the way. But a lot, there are going to be times where you're in between towns and you're not sure where the fuck you're going. And you're kind of going in the right direction, but you're not sure what road to take. And I thought that was a beautiful metaphor, but I wanted to ask, being someone of that, of which you are, goal-driven, process-oriented, I would say outcome-driven to an extent of what I know of you, but not outcome-driven to the point where you lose sight on the process to get there, which you then have really picked up a lot of stuff through serendipity on the way. I'm doing this opportunity that you just wouldn't have came up if you weren't doing that and that. So what's kind of the draw? What's in your mind, if you can think through it, or if you've kind of introspected what that would be, like, what is that North Star kind of like thing in your head, the voice in your head? Is there something there, or is it just kind of like, fuck it, I'm just doing it. Doesn't matter. There's no voice. It's just me.
Well, I know what my purpose is and I know what my why is. And I think that's the first thing. I think that's the most important thing on every journey, is that if you don't know your why, you don't know your purpose, all the little things along the way aren't going to happen and they're not going to mean anything to you anyway, because they have no purpose or meaning behind them. because like we said, like, and you just touched on, it's not always about the end goal. And for me, I think it's really important to understand that the end goal can change. And that's where a lot of people go wrong, is that they have the end goal, and even if things along the way throw them in different directions, they just either ignore it or think that it's a, I guess, a failure is a good word to use, because it's not getting them close to where they thought they wanted to go. Whereas for me, like, my end goal has changed like so much, but along the way the process is still the same. So like, this is where I'm going to finish up, and that's the only thing that matters. Like, I just have to get to this point here, and everything else along the way doesn't matter. Like you've touched on, there's been heaps of different directions that I've gone in because of the process. And for me, like, what I try and teach a lot of my clients is that it's about coming up with a list of non-negotiables. And in that process, I'm also using, like, I like to use what my long-term goals are, but then setting small goals every single day. And those small goals every single day are what build up the daily non-negotiables. So that's what's going to help you drive the process of getting to where you want to be. And if you're doing those non-negotiables day in, day out, then that's when opportunities come up along the way. And it's obviously extremely important to make sure the non-negotiables are aligned with getting you towards where your end goal is. So, surface paradise. But making sure that, I guess just making sure that you're not so focused on finishing that you're missing all the opportunities along the way. Because yes, you want to reach an end goal, but there's obviously a reason or a purpose in the first place why you've even set out to do that. So you may find that along the way, there's another opportunity that comes up or another avenue you can go down to still fulfill that purpose without it being a specific goal that you set out in the first place. And that's where I find sticking to my daily routine, revisiting the daily goals and revisiting what my non-negotiables are as often as possible. I think for me, it's extremely important. And it allows me to not lose sight of, as we just touched on, the possibilities that come up along the way, or maybe a different direction that I can go down to fulfill what my purpose is. Hopefully that answers the question that you've asked. I feel like I've rambled a bit there.
No, it's great. I wanted to get you on at least one ramble on this episode, just because.
Yeah, it doesn't take long. It's not hard to do.
Well, shit, not for the both of us, I think. But I think rambling, and I don't even call it rambling, I think chatting through something like that, where you can tell, like, I get to see you, which is a luxury that those listening don't have. But you can see yourself really thinking through it as you're saying it and trying to piece things together. And I think that we can have there's a lot of clarity that comes to mind when you have to articulate something like that, which I think has been one of the most powerful things for myself, selfishly, about having a podcast. And I know you. Which you have one of the most successful ones there are, especially in Australia. So on that note, like, I know you understand the importance, or what happens as you can articulate and share space with another individual that can do the same thing. I love the concept of non-negotiables, and I think it's so, so important. And losing sight of the horizon, losing sight of that North Star, things can get dark, and they can get, I've experienced this, they can get very nihilistic and very like, details don't matter. This opportunity happened, doesn't matter, because you don't quite know what the process to get to our end destination is. Just tiny things happening over and over and over and compounding upon each other. And I think a lot of this works, you know, on the concept of compounding interest. With each opportunity, the next one gets fractionally greater, and then greater, and then fractionally greater, and that just builds up.
I think literally this is just kind of coming to my head now, the similarities between it, but it's very similar to an approach, and I know you and I share a pretty similar approach with nutrition. Like, when I start working with a client, we start the goals very small. We start the targets very small in terms of what I want them to be doing, especially if they're coming from a background of no real knowledge on nutrition, and they haven't been educated around what does and doesn't work and what they should be aiming for. So, you know, you may start off, let's say starting off with just roughly tracking your calorie intake. So that becomes your first non-negotiable. So you've got a rough idea of how many calories you're taking in day out. Along the way, we're going to add in non-negotiables in there. So then we're adding in the fact that, okay, now we need to know what your protein minimum is every day. So you've got your calorie intake and your protein minimum. Then you start to nail that and you're starting to see results. And again, it's like you've got your North Star. Your North Star is what your specific goal is with your body composition, or whether it's athletic performance, whether it's general health and well-being, whatever it is. Along the way, we're adding non-negotiables. You start to nail the first two and you get a bit more curious, or you come down the track of noticing that, you know, you respond a lot better to higher carbohydrates and lower fats. So now you're adding the non-negotiable of keeping your carbohydrate ratio higher than your fats. You find that you're responding super well when you're extremely hydrated along the way. So then you add in that non-negotiable. Now, all of a sudden, you've got all these non-negotiables that you've built up over time, that every single day they have to be there to project you towards what your end goal is, even if that end goal changes. So your goal may initially start off with losing body fat and becoming the leanest you've ever been, and that's your body composition goal. Along the way, that can change. So all of a sudden, you've reached a point where you're happy with where you're at and you want to transition into a gaining phase or increase your size. The non-negotiables are still the same. The numbers are going to be different, but the non-negotiables are still the same every single day, and they're what's going to project you towards what that end goal is, and even if the goal changes along the way. So I think that's just super important. And the other similarity to nutrition is the fact that if you don't have any non-negotiables, you're guessing your way to the results. When my clients talk to me about knowing your numbers, I'm like, so you're telling me if you're just going to, you know, quote unquote, eat healthy and try and achieve your goal, regardless of whether you do or don't see it, you don't know why. You don't know what's the reason why you've achieved that goal. So if you're setting out to achieve a certain goal that you've set for yourself, which is not non-related to nutrition, I'm probably confusing everybody now. But if you're set out to achieve a goal that's non-related to that, but you have no non-negotiables, how do you know whether you're on track? How do you know whether, even if you do achieve it, how do you know what's the reason why you've even got there in the first place? Or when things don't go right, how do you know what to change and what you can kind of cross off the list to avoid doing from now on? I think it's just the similarities I find between, you know, goal setting, to regardless of what that specific goal is, your training, so physical fitness with your nutrition and training, and then also business. Like I always bring the similarities between running a business and controlling your results with your body. I use the term of becoming the CEO of your own body. So knowing your numbers and knowing what your non-negotiables are and the process of achieving your goal with your body is not much different to the process of running a successful business. So I've just found that they've just been an absolute game changer for me, and it's something that I'm trying to engrave in a lot of my clients now, is to come up with their own non-negotiables. It doesn't have to be the same as mine, but these are the things that they're going to build on, that regardless of what happens, they are the things that happen day in, day out. And even when the goal does change, they still stay stuck in stone.
Yeah, I love that, man. And I think one of the biggest things for me is understanding just that. And I think one of the hardest things, so let's say you have all that in place, you're process oriented, you have your non-negotiables, but you can still be hung up on being inflexible with that end destination. And I think I posted my post today. I just want to be sure I get it exactly as it states. But my post today was essentially about kind of this topic. So I took a lyric from Mumford and Sons' Delta, their song Delta. And in that, he says, "What's behind, I can clearly see that beyond, that's beyond me." And I think that's so beautifully put, because it's so easy to see what's behind you. It's so easy to be able to ruminate and know exactly what happened. But or the process in which how you got there, things that happen along the way, and understanding that there's a lot of luck and randomness and all the shit that happens along the way that got you to where you were. And so although you can see that though, but what's beyond, that's beyond all of us. That's beyond the two of us for sure, in our skill sets. We're not psychic. So as far as I know, I don't know if you are.
No danger.
It's interesting. But I think that's the scary part, but I think it's also the most beautiful part of kind of the human condition in our existence. And I think it's an interesting thing to observe yourself, but others. And now kind of our cultures and societies that are set up based off this notion that there's just stillness and security and predictability, and we're in control of all of this in a bigger picture. And that's just so untrue. And we live in this delusional fallacy of, well, we're in complete control. And I think something of the magnitude of a pandemic, like coronavirus popping up and stuff like that, is like, dude, December, early December, things are going great. It's summer over there. I'm sure, you know, of what I can remember of your concert at the time, crushing it, getting shit done, having plans for, you know, up to this point in 2020. And then let's say a week later, it's like, I fucking never would have expected this. In a million years, I couldn't have drawn this up. And that's what's truly beyond you.
It's mental. There's two things out of that. So the first part, I love what you just touched on there about understanding that we aren't in complete control. But I think also the thing that's got to be paired with that is coming to terms with that and understanding that that's okay. You know, in the past 2 years in particular, I've really kind of knuckled down on personal development and also kind of opening my mind up to things with meditation and mindfulness. And an author that I came across, Gabby Bernstein, I don't know if you've seen any of her content or read any of her books, but her first book that I read was called The Super Attractor.
Okay.
And then the one I'm listening to at the moment is called The Universe Has Your Back. But some big takeaways I took from her first book I read, The Super Attractor, is that we have our purpose, we have our why, we have the areas that we want to go to and the goals that we want to achieve. And like I touched on, we have our daily non-negotiables. But in the end of the day, what will be. And if the things don't work out that you expected to work out, it means that something better is coming along the way. And the sooner we can give up like complete control and try not to control everything, that's when all the good stuff happens. Once we stop focusing on making sure that everything's perfect, once we stop focusing on the fact that we should be in control of absolutely everything, the rest of it takes care of itself. So if you're doing everything that you can, if you're doing what you know you should be doing day in, day out, then the rest will take care of itself. And I fully believe that that's true. And even at the start of the pandemic, like I said earlier in our chat, like that first week, that first week of isolation, I think it was due to the fact that I've been consuming a lot of this content on that topic of kind of releasing control and just trying to not overthink or overanalyze and try and control absolutely everything. The start of this pandemic, I was kind of cool with it. The first week, you know, all of a sudden I'm looking at the fact that online clients are dropping like flies. I can't use the gym anymore. Advertisement on my podcast is all dropping off because brands can't afford to do ad spend anymore. Like all this stuff is happening, which, you know, previously would have stressed me out a lot and it would have had me in a really bad place mentally, probably making decisions that were not smart and they were like panic moves in terms of what I was doing with my own business, maybe trying to like make quick sales and stuff like that, knowing that I wasn't going to be making money from clients. But this time around, I kind of just thought to myself, I'm like, well, firstly, I'm definitely not the only one that's in this position. Secondly, fingers crossed, this is not going to last forever. And thirdly, like me worrying about this and putting any energy to this is not going to change it. So there's zero point worrying about anything that you are not in control of. So for me, I was just like, what I can control is building out new platforms and building out new content to use once this is all over, providing service to my clients that are still with me and making sure that they continue to see results, giving out more free content than what I usually would because I now have time to do it, spending more time with my girlfriend, sleeping more, all these things that I looked at what I can do now, instead of, I literally put zero focus to what I couldn't do. And I mean, like, even when everybody around me was doing the exact opposite, like in full panic mode, full stress mode, like worried about anything and everything. And I completely understand that. Like it was a stressful time, but I just didn't give any energy to it. And it made all the difference, like all the difference for me. And as you said, like you're not in control. I remember a friend of mine sent me a message. Here in Melbourne, we have one of the rounds of the Grand Prix, so Formula One, and it takes like 3 months to set up the track. Like they start setting up the track at the start of January and it's in mid-March. And I'm a pretty big fan of the Grand Prix and it's a big deal in Melbourne. So we got to literally day before the race and a mate of mine messaged me and he goes, imagine if they cancel the Grand Prix this weekend, because this was like right at the start of Corona. And I sent him back a message. I'm going like, man, you've lost the plot. There's zero chance that they are canceling the Grand Prix. I mean, like, this is the biggest thing ever. Like, just, that's ridiculous. Within 12 hours, the Grand Prix had been canceled. And turns out the night before, like, two of the drivers had already flown home. And that was like the start of this whole pandemic. Like, after that, everything went from 0 to 100 real quick, or from 100 to 0 real quick, actually. Man, like you're just not in control of that. Imagine if someone said to you, like you said, at New Year's Eve, and they're just like, hey, by the way, and we also had the bushfires in Australia too. And then obviously now with everything that's going on over in the States, which is obviously a huge matter and really important. But imagine if someone said to you at the start of the year, all right, so from January through to February, like, heaps of Australia is just going to burn down. It's going to be the worst bushfires ever. Once that's done, we're then going to go into a global pandemic where you can't leave your house for about 3 months. And then once that's done, there's going to be riots basically worldwide, and there's going to be huge movement which just completely throws everything on its head, and that'll take us through to about halfway through 2020. You would be going to yourself like, nah, man.
No,
like,
way.
You'd be asking them what drugs they'd taken that day. But it's just crazy. You can't control it. So by not giving energy to anything that you can't control, I think you're just like protecting your energy, I think, is just so important. And putting your energy to areas that are actually in your control is the only thing that you can do. So outside of that, you're literally just wasting your time. And also, I think obviously this time is stressful for everyone. It has been. We're hopefully getting towards the end of it now, but by stressing yourself out even more, you're not doing yourself any favors. I mean, none of that energy is going to be put to good use.
Right. And I think protecting, kind of, I could put in categories or kind of group it all together, and just kind of using the term kind of like protect your assets, and, you know, your assets being your time, your energy, your bandwidth, and your energy, time, energy, bandwidth, and, all the things that kind of fall under that umbrella. And I think that's so important, is you're always kind of keeping tabs on who's stealing those things that you can never get back.
Exactly.
And that's, you really can't get much. I mean, the energy does come back in
a lot of the time, the person that's stealing the stuff that you can't get back is yourself.
Yeah.
It's yourself. It's watching the news. It's taking other people's opinions. It's continuing to dwell on things that are in the past that you can't control. Like, it's you. Like, you're the one that has to make that decision. And as much as you're making yourself so unhappy and taking away energy from on things that you could be doing that are productive and are moving you closer towards your goal, and in the end of the day, it's a tough pill to swallow, but it's on you. Like, you need to be the one that makes the decision to not give your energy to things that are outside of your control.
Right. I think that's, yeah. And shit, man, from the fires in Australia to the coronavirus, to, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement, the magnitude of events over the last 6 months have, have been something that just you wouldn't have foreseen. And it's been wild. And to hear that on, you know, New Year's Eve, whatever, someone comes up to you like, maybe on drugs or hammered, and then just like, man, this is how things are going to go this year, man. You're just like, dude, get the hell away from me.
Yeah.
And it's just wild, but it's an attest also to just that resilience. And I recently listened back through it, The Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl, and hearing his stories of his stories through his experience at the concentration camps, and just, man, if that doesn't put things in perspective. So we were about a month into the quarantine lockdown, and I started to listen to this book, and I definitely didn't feel like woe is me during this. Like, my life didn't change too much. I was very fortunate. You know, obviously some conveniences, and you start to worry about things you necessarily wouldn't have worried about, mm-hmm. Like the health of your family. And I mean, you probably should always probably worry about that. if I'm being honest, I don't always think about it. But now it's like top of mind, and my grandfather has COPD, and like all these different things. And you're like, shit, like, are my grandparents okay? Like, when was the last time I saw them? Is this going to be the last time I see them? You know, all that stuff really starts to stress you out. But listening to that really helped put whatever I needed into perspective. And I mean, shit, dude, at least we're not in work camps, you know, at least like,
yeah,
life's pretty freaking good still, man. Like, and that's the thing is,
that's it.
Perspective. And that perspective is everything. And any success you've ever had or will have or plan on having is all based on the metrics in which you're tracking that success on, and that perspective that you look upon those things with. And as long as you're doing the little things right, you're treating those around you with kindness, and you're helping those directly around you, I think you can create such a big change. And again, like we've been talking about kind of through the theme of the episode, was like, through the path, through that serendipity, you're going to collect things along the way. You're going to collect opportunities that you may otherwise never have come by, because you never started the journey to begin with. And I think I always remember, I really liked your interview with
Joseph Mansell. Yeah. Massive Joe's. Yeah. That was a fun one. Yeah.
Yeah, man. And well, your bit on kind of just so my life is as well as yours is changed drastically by just the power of the ask. Just ask, just say something. You literally have nothing to lose, depending on how you ask. Like, if you ask a complete asshole or an idiot, then you're probably going to lose some respect from that person. Yeah.
I mean, my girlfriend at the moment, she's done a degree in bioelectric chemistry, and so she's in pharmacy, and she didn't necessarily like working as a pharmacist. So she hasn't actually done anything in that field, like, since she left university. Like, her and her family run a number of cafes and restaurants that are really successful here in Melbourne. So she's been in that space for a long time. And now with all this time where things have been different, she's taken some downtime. And a couple of weeks ago, we kind of came up with the business idea for her to bring out some health products. So she's going to be bringing out some products in like the vitamin space. So like, there'll be a skin product, one for your stomach, and then one for sleep. And, you know, this is the thing that I've been repeating to her over and over again, because she's, you know, this is a big thing outside of her comfort zone. She's literally taking a massive risk, and it's stepping way outside of what she's used to doing, and, you know, the unknown of whether it's going to be successful or not. And the thing I keep saying to her is, I'm like, you know, if 12 months down the track, your products haven't done well, or they're not on shelves, or this didn't really work out, you're going to be in this exact same position that you're in now. So if you look at it like that, you have already failed. Like, you're in a position that you will be in when you fail, if you fail, which I don't think she will. And I think the mindset should be that you're not going to, but that's a really good way to look at it. Like, even if it, when it comes back to asking someone, if you and I didn't know each other and I really wanted to do a podcast with you, and I asked politely, I offered something of value in return, and you said no, then I'm still in the same position as I was before I asked. So if you start to look at it like that, it takes away that fear of asking, or it takes away that fear of trying, because the reality is the same. Yeah, now you know my name. But like the reality ends up being exactly the same. So I think if that fear is taken away, all of a sudden, it opens up so many doors. And man, like literally, I know we've talked about it on the last episode, but like so many opportunities that I've been very blessed to come across are all because of the fact that either one, I haven't been scared of failing, or two, because I've just been willing to ask, regardless of whether it's been a long shot or whether I've had to ask multiple times or whether I've followed up or whatever it is. Like it's like I can 110% say that I would not be doing what I'm doing right now if I hadn't have done those things.
Yeah. And to again, continue to build on the theme, another theme we've been talking about is being flexible within that end destination. Because man, like I think both of us can sit here and say like, we're towards the horizon in which we were always kind of walking towards, that we'll always be walking towards, and we'll get there with the day we die, maybe, hopefully that we're closer. But through that, you just keep landing in different, I'm going to continue to use Lyndon's analogy. Like you're going to keep going through towns. You're going to keep ending up in towns that you may never thought you would have ever gone to. Like, oh, this isn't actually, I love this town. I may actually stay here for a little bit. I may start to, you know, rent a place and set up shop and like, you know, like really imagine that metaphor. But man, like you just never know what can come about by doing it.
And the thing to understand with that is that, yeah, you may find a place and rent a space for a while and set up shop for a while. That doesn't mean you're there for life. That might be for a year or two. And then you pack up your bags and you keep moving back to on the same path as you were going before. You've just managed to you know, upskill or experience new things or meet new people or do something different along the way.
Exactly. Yeah, man. I think it's a great place. Let's end it there. I want to make sure that you get to your thing, get to your client, and you don't have to stress like that. So I appreciate you. I appreciate you always being willing to hop on. I'm really excited to get back to Australia, get to Melbourne. I have a lot of people I need to try and see and get coffee with and give a big hug and a training session if I can. And you're definitely one of those people. And if there's anything that you want to say, I'll make sure your social's plugged and all that stuff, but any projects, anything, floor is yours.
Thanks, man. No, look, I don't have anything to promote or anything like that. I just appreciate you having me on. I'd love to get you back on my show again soon so we can have a chat, and I'll make sure I block out a good couple of hours so we don't have any time restrictions. But thanks to everybody who's tuned in, and I hope you've got some value from this chat. And you know, if you haven't, go back and have a listen to some of our other chats as well. But yeah, thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate it. Hope you're staying safe and healthy, and I can't wait for the next time we have another chat.
Likewise, man. Hey guys, Austin here. Thank you again for listening into the episode. It means a lot. If you can, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave the podcast a 5-star review. This does help us grow and be found by others. Also, just wanted to mention, if you guys are interested in free education based around training and nutrition, be sure to check out physiquedevelopment.com/free education, where you'll find free downloads, videos, articles, etc. No strings attached. Again, thank you. Chat soon.